Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Honey on my lips. The psalmist said in Psalm 19 verse 10 about the word of God that it is sweeter than honey. Join Lady Reverend Adelaide Hayward Mills.
Life has a way of dishing out to us things that we did not expect. Sometimes it's a dream that seems to be delayed. Many times you see a man, you know, he has a good job, he's a cool dude, his suit is smart, and you think, when I marry him, everything will be together. The unexpected is unexpected from our perspective, but from God's perspective, it is not unexpected.
On Sweet Melodies 94.3, as she puts the honey of God's word on your lips, equipping you for all facets of life, this and every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Honey on my lips will change your life, preach good news to the poor, set the captives free, heal the brokenhearted, bring recovery of sight to the blind, and proclaim God's year of jubilee. Honey on my lips. Saturdays at 9 a.m. on Sweet Melody. Be blessed by God as you tune in to Lady Reverend Adelaide Hayward Mills.
Because you first loved me. I love you because you chose a vessel like this to do your work. I love you because your word is eternal and never changing. I love you because you poured your grace on a vessel like this. This evening I pray that let your will be done. Not my will, not the applause of man, not the dictates of the flesh, but the leading of the Spirit. Let every human being here be yielded to you. Let every spirit represented here be yielded to you. Anoint this vessel afresh, O God. Let it be like dew that comes from heaven and do a new thing in the lives of your people. Take over, Holy Spirit. Let me not be a hindrance or limitation to you in any way. But let the Holy Spirit brood over your people. Oh, let the brokenhearted be healed. Let captives be set free. Let the blind see. Let the acceptable year of the Lord be proclaimed, O God. Thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the good news and to bring glad tidings to your people. Let it be so, O God. Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please take your seat. It's me, I hope my mic is working all right. But I'm happy to be here. And to see what God is doing here. It's been quite some time since we came to Mahathir. And we thank God for opening the door for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to salute your prophet, Pastor and his wife. I also want to salute your resident pastor, Pastor Dr. Brown and his wife. And Pastor Brian. And all the lovely pastors that make God's work advance. In this place, I always say that he who sees in secret will reward you openly. Hallelujah. I also bring you greetings from Bishop. He's ministering at the moment in South Africa, in Cape Town. And I think that the Lord is gracious. And just as we leave on Sunday, he also leaves on Sunday. And we arrive at home at the same time. And in fact, he was saying to me, as we are going apart, we'll arrive at the same time. I said, yes, but when you arrive, you have arrived. But when I arrive, I have to heat stew
and
make a drink, but it's all well and good. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to thank him for releasing me into ministry. And I want to thank God for choosing a vessel like
so
this. And I pray that the Lord will meet you at the point of what he thinks you need. Because sometimes what you think you need is not what God thinks you need. But may he meet you at the point of his need for you. In Jesus' name. I want to also salute all daughters especially. God's precious vessels. And I want to say that we will make it because of the greater one in us. I want to encourage all daughters to know that there's something that God has invested in each and every one of us. Sometimes when we look at the different seasons of our lives, we think that God has left us. And we think that when God is calling people, he will not call us. But God has a purpose for every one of us. And I realize that we look down on the things that God gives us to accomplish his will. As I was saying in USC yesterday, when you look in the Bible, most of the things or the tools that God gave women to use, or some of the things that women themselves had power over, they don't look so powerful. Like an apple in the garden. Just an apple. But with the apple in the woman's hand, you and I are here today. It was just an apple. It doesn't have to be a bazooka. It doesn't have to be an AK-47. But God has given us something called influence. And I think that many of us are anointed but are not aware of it. Because when we look at what we have, we look down on what we have. When you look in the Bible, Rebecca was really the one behind Jacob's blessing. And how did she pull that trick off? A pot of cocoa. Or a nice pot of stew. But she knew how. She said, after your father has eaten, he will begin to bless you fully. And she knew that there was power in her stew. But some of us, we look at stew and say, God has rather pushed me, relegated me to the kitchen to cook stew. But I believe that God uses all these things. The Bible says if you will give a prophet a glass of water in the name of a prophet, not in the name of a boyfriend, not in the name of a friend, not in the name of a colleague, but in the name of a prophet, you will get a prophet's reward. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Delilah had no strong weapon. She didn't have any weapons of mass destruction. She just had tears. And a lap. It's just a lap. And yet Samson, who had carried the gates of Gaza and fought lions, was not able to overcome this one. Ladies, our weapons are powerful. Moses' mother.
Moses and mommy.
She just had a basket.
Now our canteen.
Herod had given the law.
Now Herod had shemra.
There were soldiers everywhere.
I saw for baby bray.
Male children were not surviving.
Remember, I am no more. I'm on
but just a basket.
Canteen keke.
In the hands of a woman.
I will obey and sem.
saved Moses,
Moses
made him a prophet,
and
brought him back to liberate the kingdom of God and the children of God. Ladies, we have something unique. We have something special. And we have to celebrate what God has made us. The woman with the alabaster box, she was not Joseph of Arimathea. She couldn't even maybe afford a tomb. But just by having a bottle of perfume, Jesus said, she has prepared me for my burial. All the people there were not even thinking of his burial. But this woman had done something prophetic. This evening I want to say to you, daughter, what do you have in your hand? God can use it. Don't look down on yourself. Don't measure yourself by how much. But believe Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of prosperity and not of disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Turn to the nearest daughter to you and tell her, daughter, don't take yourself for granted. Amen.
Amen.
I haven't preached yet. I also want to acknowledge the presence of the lady pastors who came with me from Accra.
Lady pastors, some never preaching crying by. I know.
I want them to stand up.
Some sorry, no, I'm not.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, Lighthouse Chapel is made up of about 500 branches.
Yeah, one quarter by a headroom.
So no matter how released I am into ministry, if even I preach every day of the year, I cannot hold daughter convention in every church. My husband said to me, why don't you raise some women who will have a kindred spirit with you and will stand with you to minister in all the various places. I say to the glory of God that last year, these ladies who are known as the gracious women, they ministered in Nigeria.
Nigeria.
They ministered in Cameroon.
Cameroon.
They ministered in Asamankese. They ministered in Bachona. They ministered in Cape Coast.
Cape Coast.
They ministered in Vienna.
Vienna.
This is what God can do.
We're
because one person cannot do it. God said to Moses, lay your hands on the 70. So that your spirit may come upon them. I believe that God has given us a kindred spirit. And this is just a pilot project. I know that God will raise you to us. Stand with me.
To
take the word of God. To use our wicker basket and our apple. And to use our stew and our porridge. To bring the name of Jesus to all the corners of the world.
So God bless you.
These are the gracious women. Amen.
Amen.
Please take your seat. And thank you for believing in me and coming along with me. May the Lord anoint you more and more to do and fulfill his purpose. Amen.
Amen.
This evening,
and you marry,
I want to speak to you about the spirit of the mind. The spirit of the mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sorry, I have to wear my glasses. Different seasons of our lives. Ephesians chapter 4.
Ephesians 4, verse
23. The spirit of the mind. Ladies, I hope you know where to find the word of God. It's not only where to find Ashoke. It's not only where to find Kente. It's not only where to find the latest seamstress. But where to find God's word. It's also important. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians
23.
Renewed in the spirit of your mind and be renewed or made new in the spirit of the mind. And the Amplified says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now I believe that our minds are controlled by a spirit. Sometimes we say that the 50th anniversary, Ghana at 50, has been celebrated in a spirit of unity. Sometimes we say in a spirit of patriotism, in a spirit of joy. And the Bible is telling us here in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amplified says, have a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And so the spirit of something is also the attitude. And so it's the attitude of the mind. And it is the way you see things, the way you conclude, the way you come to conclusions, because many times our facts are right, but our conclusions are wrong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lady Pastor, how can that be? It's true that you saw him going to that house. It's true that he was wearing a yellow shirt. It's true that it was 4 o'clock. It's true that he spoke to that woman. But it's not true that he's having an affair. So the facts are true. But the conclusion is wrong. And this evening, we want to have the right spirit of the mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Paul says, be renewed. Be made new. In the way you think. In the spirit that controls your mind. Let it be a certain way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe that most of our battles are in our mind. And most of the things and places we end up in start from the way we think. It is the spirit of the mind. Sometimes you may even do something that you think is good. Or you may do something for the welfare of somebody. But it may not be the right spirit of the mind. I always say this story that many years ago, when I wanted to get married, my father called me one afternoon and said, this man you are going to get married to, do you know him? And I said, yes, daddy, I know him. He said, how many years have you known him for? I said, I've known him since I entered the university in 1982. And as we are talking now, it's
1988.
So daddy, I've known him for a long time. My father said to me, I don't mean that kind of knowledge. I mean the knowledge between a man and a woman. It was still lost on me. Because my father was very strict. If you called me at 7 p.m.,
we'll
ask you, why are you calling my daughter at such a late hour? And what do you have to discuss with her? And if you came to the house, even in the morning, he will call you and say, Eraba, have you finished your work in your house? Have you done all that your mother has asked you to do? That you are at my house at 10 a.m. What do you want my daughter for?
Then I wish I may banner Emma.
And sometimes also we are returning a book.
Send me the book, Ebreno.
And then my father would call me, Mommy. The one I come and stand there. She says she's returning a book. And he wouldn't move from there. So every conversation, every discussion, I should finish now. That was the kind of father I had. And so for my father to ask me whether I knew my husband, as a man knows a woman, I was a bit confused. And he said to me, You mean this man has never touched you? And then I came to my senses. I said,
no,
he turned to my mother and said,
Gina,
a friend on your normal. And he said, and I said, no, Daddy.
Because Daddy Debbie.
It's just because of the Bible. It's just because of the word of God. It's what God's word says. Because if we do contrary to that, it's fornication. And my father said to me, you get up and you interpret the Bible anyhow. Will you walk out of my room now? If you don't know the man, I am not coming to sign any marriage
register.
You've got to know him. And you've got to get pregnant.
Because
I think he's hiding something. And when you get pregnant, then I'll release you to marriage. Now, my father loved me very much. And I believe that he wanted to rescue me from a painful future. And I think that with his mind, he felt that you have to test the waters before you drink. You have to test the waters before you build your house by the dam. And so that was the spirit of his mind. When I said the Bible doesn't say that, he said the Bible says that. And I turned to my mother in the corner who was then drying her hair. My mother has always been so comforting, and I knew that she would say something for me. She just turned and said, listen to your father. At that time, I felt so alone. And I started to weep. Because my father said he will not come and sign any marriage register. And then later he said, I will not have a wedding. You just have a blessing. Because you are going to have a wedding, and then what will happen next? What if this man is not normal? And I said, Daddy, I will have a medical test. And I'll bring you the results that he's normal. My father drove me out like a fowl. He said to me, you are young, so you don't know a lot of things. My father was right. In terms of human thinking. And wanted to help me. And wanted to save me from heartache. But that was the spirit of his mind. The way he was thinking. It is not a renewed mind. But it is a very logical mind. And it is very understandable. But then, God's mind is different. And many times, his ways are not our ways. I always say that if I were God, all the miracles that happened in the Bible, I would not go about it the way he went about it. If I had seen the 5,000, they were hungry. They followed me for 3 days. They haven't eaten. I don't have money. I will take an offering. And I will send one person out of the desert to go and buy food, organize it, and bring it for us to eat. But I will not think of a small boy's lunch. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I will not think of that. That's why I am not God. And it shows me how far my thinking is different from me. If I was leading the Israelites through the Red Sea, the Bible says that there was a shorter route. I will not bring you to the Red Sea at all. Because I love peace. I love peace. And I don't like conflict. So I will not even bring you to the Red Sea to take you through difficulties. I will just gently lead you by that shortcut. So that we don't have to stretch any rod over any sea. But that's why I'm not God. His ways are not our ways. And your thoughts are not his thoughts. Because your way of thinking is inferior to the way God thinks. I believe that you can also have a wrong way of thinking. The Bible says about the madman of Gadara. That when the demons were driven out by Jesus, and the people came, they saw him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. Many of us, we are not clothed in the right mind. And that is why we do the things we do. And that is why we even believe the things that we believe. But I believe that this evening, the Lord will help us so that the spirit of our mind will be renewed. Now your spirit of your mind can be renewed. But you can have a mindset, an attitude that is not right. And you can also have the right mind. It's either way. Now the Bible says that. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Don't worry, I won't keep you here for long. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, reading from verse 5. Are we there? Let's read from verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are not human. They are not fleshly. But mighty. Because many times, carnal weapons look more powerful than spiritual weapons. That's why the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But in spite of that, they are mighty. Through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Now the Amplified says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical. Weapons of flesh and blood. But they are mighty before God. For the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe that many of us are in bondage to strongholds because of the way we think. A stronghold is something that has a stronghold on you. And anything that has a hold on you arrests you and keeps you there. And the Bible says that the weapons that God gives us, they can pull down even strongholds. It doesn't matter that they are strong. The weapons that God gives us can pull them down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasoning and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away, captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. The Bible says, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasoning, the way you reason, it leads to a stronghold. It leads to Satan having a hold on you. Because your arguments and your theories control you. And the Bible says that in order for that stronghold to be pulled down, we need to cast down imaginations. And we ladies, we have a very, vivid and alive imagination.
And
we have the ability to imagine things that are not true and to believe them. What happens is that we start by seeing the truth. But the first two things are true. Then the rest are imagination. And the Bible says that we have to cast down. It means that the imaginations are exalted above. And when something is exalted above you, it moves you.
So
the Bible is saying that casting down imagination. Sometimes a brother is nice to you and you have imagination. Sometimes a brother ministers to you and you have imagination. And when I talk to the brothers, I say, look, we women, we are delicate. Do not give us false hopes. You give us hope, so you finish, you say, oh, that's not what I meant. But since we cannot change them, you and I can change. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can refuse to hear wedding bells when they are not ringing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's just being nice to you. Where do you
sit?
He's interested in me. Even during praise and worship, he couldn't concentrate on the praise and worship. He kept looking at me. And Lady Pastor, the way he looks at me, I know he can't say, but he's in love.
Oh, don't ask a trainer.
And then he goes for another sister. And then I call the brother and I say, this sister says you are in love with me. Why have you gone for another sister?
I didn't knock off about fraud, so don't know.
I've not said anything to you. Ladies, guard your heart. Our hearts are delicate. Don't just give it away. And don't hear till you hear. Sometimes the brothers speak in parables. You see, when my husband used to chat with me, sometimes he would say, hey, so if somebody proposed to you now,
so
what would you say? Somebody indeed. And I would say to him, I wonder. I had two classic answers. I wonder. And then I wish I knew. I should come and give you an answer to such a question. I don't have an answer. I wonder. And then I wish I knew. Once I was coming from
Takoradi.
And then he was supposed to be going for a Calvary Road meeting.
No, no, so meeting.
And I was going to catch up with the meeting.
Let me go share meeting.
And then when I got to Accra, I got a phone call that, oh, I've not gone for the meeting. I said, really?
Call meeting. Yeah.
Why are you so late?
I didn't know why you're late, sir.
So some special person was coming. So,
oh, no, so
I decided to wait for that special person. I totally ignored the comment. Okay, so now you're going for the meeting. I will leave you. Okay, so see you. Casting down imagination. Amen, ladies.
Amen.
But you could easily say, oh, he said he was waiting for a special.
It's
because he can't say. It's me. Then we go through so many heartaches that we don't need to go through. The Bible says,
trust them as say,
Jesus was talking to his disciples. In Luke 12, verse 29, you don't need to turn to it. And he said that, and seek ye not what ye shall eat, neither what you shall drink. And he said, and be not of doubtful mind. So you can also have a doubtful mind. A doubtful mind is not a renewed mind. A doubtful mind is not being controlled by the right spirit of the mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And many times our wars are in the realm of the mind. You think about something before you do it. And our thoughts speak to us, they preach to us, and they minister to us. And that is why we must cast down imagination. And sometimes our thoughts lift up themselves above what God is saying to us. That's why the Bible says, and casting down as well every high thing. And that thing is a spirit. And it comes to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. The thing itself exalts itself and says that God's word is here, but your thought is here.
And so, what you was
and so your thought line dominates what God says. What God says about you. What God says about your life. What God says about your situation. Sometimes we are of a doubtful mind. And the doubtful mind is stronger than the spirit of faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we doubt because of what we see. Sometimes you look at your mind, say, this marriage, everything is false. People come and say, Lady Pastor, everything is false. Since my trust was broken, I can't believe anymore. I can't trust anymore. When I look, I don't see anything good. When I look into the future, I can't see hope. Lady Pastor, nothing is changing. And I don't think anything good can come out of
it.
And then I ask them, are you God? No, because I've reached the end of my rope. It's the end. I don't have any more strength. I said, yes, that's where God has been waiting to bring you to. Because when you get to that point, then you learn to throw everything to Him. And you learn to just abandon yourself. That is why I like the verse that says, I will give you beauty for ashes. I always say that ashes are nothing. And ashes don't just happen. Ashes come about after there's been a burning. Ashes come about after there's been destruction. Ashes come about when there's life in a tree and then a match is struck and it's burned. And there's no hope at all. And all that you are left with is ashes. There's no resemblance between the ashes and the tree. Ashes don't have life.
And so
they are non-living things. And they are easily blown about. And God said, give me your ashes. And I will give you beauty. But if you are holding something, He cannot give you something. So you have to release the ashes so that you can receive His
gift.
And that is how to rise above a doubtful mind. Sometimes adversity and affliction can be so strong. You don't see a way out. In this case, I'm not even talking about active faith. If you like, I'm talking about dormant faith. That faith that just abandons itself. And say, Lord, if you are going to blow this way, I go. If you blow that way, I go. I just know that you are sovereign. As for what I see, it's not good at all. But I want to have the right spirit of the mind. I want to know that in spite of all that I can see, I can rise above my doubtful mind and think your way. I just have to agree with you. I just have to abandon myself. Because I don't have any strength of
mine.
As you walk with God, you come to places where you don't have solutions. You come to places where you don't know the way out. And that is when you just abandon yourself. Be not of doubtful mind. In Romans 1:28, the Bible also talks about a reprobate mind.
I say.
And I want us to read it.
I say, yeah, kind.
Romans chapter 1.
Romans 4,
verse 28.
Hallelujah. Romans 1:28. Are we there? And even as they did not like to retain God, where? In their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication. Wickedness. Verse 31, without understanding.
One
covenant breakers. Amen.
Amen.
Now the Bible says that because they were a certain way, and they did not like to retain the knowledge of God. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, in their mind. God gave them over. Unto a reprobate mind. If we don't retain God in our knowledge, other things fill our mind. Because nature abhors a vacuum. Something will come and fill it. Hallelujah. And so when they didn't retain God in their mind, God had no option but to give them up. To a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a merciless mind. A cruel mind. A mind that cannot be reconciled. Unappeasable. Unforgiving. Unyielding.
And pitiless.
Hallelujah. And the Bible is saying that when we don't retain God in our mind, He gives us over to a reprobate mind. So you can now be a Christian, but you have a mind that is false. You have a mind that does not yield to anything. A mind that does not yield to God at all. And that is why many marriages are not working. Because we have reprobate minds. A mind that is unforgiving. The greatest cornerstone to marriage, in my view, is the ability to forgive. And the person who loves you the most is the person who hurts you the most. But if you have a reprobate mind, you don't have the knowledge of God in your mind. You are not afraid of anything. You don't yield to anything except your own mind and your own way of thinking. And at a point, God can't do much. He has to give you up. But it started with your not retaining God in your knowledge. And then He gives you up to a reprobate mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But not all our minds are negative. We can also have a positive mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul said in the book of Acts,
Paul can was my phone woman.
That I served you in humility of mind. So humility is also another spirit that the mind can have. A humble way of thinking. Most of the time, pride is a very subtle thing. Because it cannot be seen. Somebody may look humble. But the person may be the proudest you've ever seen. And somebody may look proud. But the person may be the lowliest. When I look at Moses' life, when Aaron and Co were criticizing him, they say, you have made yourself a prince over us. And you like to lord it over us. But when you come to the book of Hebrews,
Hebrews. God says about Moses, he was the meekest man in the face of this earth. How can it be that Aaron then said, you are putting yourself above
man?
And yet God's testimony is that he's the meekest man. It means that including you and I, Moses was the meekest man on the face of this earth. So what God says about you is more important than what man says about you. And you must guard against what you hear. You must guard against what you hear. Because what you hear influences your thinking. Sometimes you've heard something, but the opportunity has not come to use it. Some people say that men man yet.
Some men say, some people say men are very bad.
Some people say men man yet.
Some people say men are bad.
It's a blanket statement. And you are a young woman.
Oh yeah, Baba.
At that time, you don't even have a beloved.
But
you've just heard that men
are not good. What to say? Men are not good.
And so you think, oh, this does not apply to me. But later on, as you grow in life, you meet somebody. And the person shows a little manifestation. This gospel, I've heard it preached before. This word, I've listened to it on tape. If you say men
are not good. Because men are not good.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so what you retain in your knowledge, retain means keeping. Retain means meditating on. It affects you. When you feel that God doesn't love you, it's a thought. And it is against the knowledge of Christ. But that is how you feel. And that is what your mind says. And we must be able to tell ourselves that contrary to the battle in my mind, I believe what God
says.
That he has loved me with an everlasting love. And that he rejoices over me with singing. Hallelujah. I want us to read Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. It's good to be taught the word of God. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. If you are there, say I'm there. If you are not there, say wait for me. The wait for me is a lot too. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in what? Lowliness of what? Of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this what? Mind.
That's for my Jinwei.
Be in you, which was in Christ
Jesus,
who being in the form of God, that was thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Let nothing be done through strife,
quarreling,
strive, quarreling, or vain glory. Glory that will not lead you anywhere. Glory that is vain. Let nothing be done in that spirit. But in lowliness of mind. So we know a reprobate mind. We know a doubtful mind. We know that you can be in your wrong mind. And we also know that you can have lowliness of mind. And sisters, if you have no lowliness of mind, don't bother to marry. Because the Bible says that wives, not girls, not females, but wives, submit yourself unto your own husband. And some of you, you naturally lead your husband, lead the men in your life. Submit. And Amplify says submit means as being secondary to. Hey! It's not easy. I should make myself secondary to somebody. Adaptable to. And deferring to. So I often ask people at women's meetings. When I read all these definitions in the Amplified Bible. Are you ready to marry?
Why
you
cry the sober warrior now?
In lowliness of mind. Are you ready when you cook for the person to say, I don't like it?
Why you cry the sober
warrior? I want to eat something else. Are you ready when you are asleep in the night to
why
be
yourself? Say, what that?
Lowliness of mind.
Ahumbrasiwajimu.
Amen.
Amen.
Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. There's a lot of strife in the church. And a lot of vain glory. We want names. We want titles. We want acknowledgement. We want recognition. When they forget to mention our name, we get hurt. But remember this verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself. Let this mind be in you. It means that for us to have a certain mind, it depends on us. It didn't say let an angel give you a mind. It didn't say let an angel do it for you. It says allow, permit, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's something called lowliness of mind. And we need lowliness of mind to go ahead in ministry. Because God will take you through many humbling. Some of us think that as soon as we start, then you are on stage, red carpet, and then you are doing daughter, I can make it.
Now, yeah, daughter, I can make it. No,
it's not like that.
And sister,
it's lowliness of mind. When I started meeting with women, it was in the
room.
At the nurses training college in Kolebu.
There
were just a handful of women.
I'll
just take my Bible study.
From Bible,
let's go through the Bible because I believe that all women's meetings are the word of God anyway. And it applies to everybody. Hallelujah. So we will go through. And then we had our first convention. The complete woman. Or the whole woman or something. In a small room at the School of Hygiene.
Thank you, Table School of Hygiene.
I'm always encouraged when I hear Joyce Meyer. She said when she started preaching, she started in a small place in her living room.
Thank you, everyone.
And she used to have Bible studies there. And then she believed that God was leading her out. So she began to go out and preach about
it.
And one day she preached all her heart, thinking that she had really ministered. And her husband was looking after the tape desk for her. When the program was over, she went to the tape desk. She asked her husband, how many tapes sold today? He said one. And then when she turned around to go, he said, but it has been returned. Because they say it's faulty. Lowliness of mind. When you see Joyce Meyer today on TV, and you see her teaching ministry, you say, hey, I want to be like this woman. But it starts with lowliness of mind. Can God Can God entrust to you that which is unattractive? Can God entrust to you that which doesn't look nice? Can God entrust to you rejection? You start a small ministry. You come on Thursday, nobody comes. One of our pastors in one of our foreign branches. When he started the church, he went one day. Only one member. And he had to preach to that one member. And take offering. It's not easy. When you start that small group. And two people come. Then you comfort yourself. Say where two or three are gathered. He is in our midst. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It takes lowliness of mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God says, allow this mind to be in you. Which was also in the Son of God. Some of us, we have nothing. Jesus controls the whole world.
Yes, no,
the cattle on a thousand hills are his. And yet he has this kind of mind.
And so now our Sahajinwe.
Some of us, we don't own much. But we don't have this kind of mind. We lack lowliness of mind. Hallelujah. When Bishop started the church,
Bishop Efia saw in that sin,
many people prophesied that it would fail. There were big established churches in town. And they said that God does not use professionals. We went to some of them, you know, just to encourage us in the ministry. When God calls you as a businessman, you stay that way. God can never call a doctor. But at that time, he was in medical school. So if you are concentrating on your call, concentrate on your call. Your call is to be a doctor. Concentrate on your call. One day I took a taxi. And one of the big men of God's wives.
The
car had broken down.
Then the car is saying.
So she started the taxi with
so
me.
So no,
me
to taxi.
And she said, where are you going?
I said, here for
I said, I'm going to Kolebu.
She said, I'm also going to Kolebu
to the hospital. Are you also going to the hospital?
Also
to
hospital.
I said, no, I'm going to the church.
Me me kwa, sorry.
Hey, what church is that?
Oh, sorry, Ben, no, no.
I said, Lighthouse Chapel.
It's Lighthouse Chapel.
Ah, that guy.
Ah, that.
That lanky medical student.
That medical student, no.
She didn't know he was my beloved.
Now only say I'm a doppo.
And she said,
now, okay,
is he a true man of God? Do you think he's called?
Would you say a friend?
So I believe he's called.
Did you say a friend?
My only advice to you is
but
that, you know, find out whether that guy is really called of God. Because that thing that he's doing, I don't know whether you can call it a church. Are you ready to support your husband?
Why
are you going to compare yourselves with yourself? And so, look at Pastor Kasa and his wife. They have a Land Cruiser. Why do you have a Tico? And Tico is my breath.
I'm tired of this Tico.
In lowliness of mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Christo Yesu.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It takes lowliness of mind.
Mind.
The way we think. Many people were brought down. Like Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Because of the way they thought. Nebuchadnezzar began to say, my hand has built all these great things. There's no one as great as me. And God said that you will become an animal tonight. And I will drive you into the forest. Loneliness of mind. Let's esteem the other better than ourselves. That means esteeming the other person's ideas. Esteeming the other person's views. Esteeming the other person's perspective. Where he's standing, where he's
looking
at. Better than your own. It's not an easy thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if we had that attitude,
it was us by now.
Then our marriages would work.
Yeah,
because you will esteem your wife's opinion better than yours. So far as it's not on scripture. And you will esteem your husband's opinion better than yours. And you will seek the interest of the other. And so you will go forward. But I think that this passage tells us how to get to that place of lowliness of mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The first step is to esteem others better than yourself. He says, let each look not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others. Then let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Change the way you think. Change the way you see things. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He didn't strive for position. He didn't strive for recognition. Because when God lifts you up, He lifts you up. You see, the Bible says that the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and it adds no sorrow. But the blessing of the world can make you rich, but it can also add sorrow. Hallelujah. He says Jesus made himself of no reputation. Someone doesn't have to make you of no reputation. You have to make yourself. Because Jesus made himself of no reputation. And then he took upon himself the form of a slave. All these things he did himself. Somebody cannot humble you. You have to humble yourself. I believe that's why the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Because some of us, we humble our, we lift ourselves up even above the hand.
You are coming here.
Hallelujah. You are sitting on the hand. But he took upon himself the form of a servant. Many of us, if we have the opportunity, we will take upon ourselves the form of a king. The form of a bishop. The form of a prophet. But not the form of a servant. But Jesus said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, let you be the servant of all. That is the key to ministry. To be a servant. And to serve God's people. In the Bible, they said that if you will serve them, then you will win their heart. Service is powerful. Although in the world, it doesn't look powerful.
I said to me,
he took upon himself the form of a servant. A low ranking person. Someone who was not regarded by society. And he came in the likeness of man. If I were the son of God, I would not come in the likeness of man. Because man has too many problems in his flesh. I would come in the likeness of God. Just a Nidua not when we say, yes, the son of God has come.
I'll come as the son of God.
But he took upon himself the likeness of a man. With many limitations and tendencies. He made himself a lower being than God. The Bible says he was in appearance like a man. It is the inside that matters, not what you appear to be. Amen. He humbled himself. He became obedient. Since he was also God, he had to be obedient. His obedience was to the ultimate. The Bible says, even unto death. Death on the cross. Let me ask you something. Are you ready to go through shame? If you are not, then you don't have lowliness of mind. Because obeying God comes with embarrassment. Obeying God comes with shame. Obeying God comes with sometimes not looking so impressive. Hallelujah. But it's just a passageway. And if you will press on, God will bring you to that point. Therefore, because of all these things, God also has highly exalted you. Hallelujah. It means that if we don't go through these steps, God is not able to exalt us to the place where He wants us to be. It takes lowliness of mind to speak in tongues. What language is this? You don't understand it. People can despise you. People can laugh at you. People will say that in Tiatia, okay, do you believe in it?
Listen, that you are speaking, do you believe in it?
But the lowliness of mind. To esteem God higher than man's opinion. And that takes you far.
I know they would do a tree.
Hallelujah. If you are pastor's wife,
so you're so worried.
You need lowliness of mind.
Oh, yeah,
so that on Sunday morning, when you are sitting there, and he's giving an example from his own perspective that are not so nice. Lowliness of mind.
Who is the
sister? Take upon yourself the form of a servant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One pastor's wife told me, my husband, I said something to him, he went to share it from the
pulpit.
So that day when they closed from church, I went to
heaven.
And I rehearsed all my insults.
I'm the one telling
when
you.
When he came, I opened the tap. It wasn't easy for him. I faced him fully. When I finished, Holy Ghost convicted me. I was so sad. He said, I've not done well. I told her, oh, but you have a nice parking lot.
And so, more parking lot, come on, come on.
You sit in front.
Mm-hmm.
You are called the first lady of so and so. But there's a price to pay.
And so, baby, what why I told you,
take upon yourself the form of a servant.
I saw park what to be at home.
Sometimes it's even the aversion.
And so, I'm not a sample.
That's all my wife. As soon as I spoke to her, she said yes. You know that is not so. But in lowliness of mind,
you
esteem the other better than yourself. Hallelujah. Paul said, I've served you with lowliness of mind. The last thing I want to talk about is readiness of mind. Hallelujah. Readiness of mind is a way of receiving God's word with readiness of mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I'm trying to pick some out and leave some so that you can go home. Amen. So this is a series, so I'm trying to pick some out so that I can send you away happily. Well, Paul was saying that the people received him when he was preaching with readiness of mind. I believe that he was talking about the people in Thessalonica. He said they were more noble than the people of Berea. The people of Berea were more noble than the people in Thessalonica because they received the word of God with readiness of mind. And then they went to study the scriptures to see if those things were so. But some of us, we changed the order. We study the scriptures to see if those things are so before we receive with readiness of mind. But our attitude should be with readiness of mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We should receive God's word with readiness. It is also an attitude. It is also a spirit of the mind to receive the word of God with readiness of mind before you start to analyze, before you start to see, before you start to criticize, receive the word with readiness of mind. Lady Pastor, you have talked about the different kinds and states of mind. So what do we do with our mind? My closing verse is Philippians chapter 4 verse 8.
Philippians 4 verse 8.
Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue. And if there be any praise. Think on these things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true. Sometimes the things are true. But they are not of good report. Don't think about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's the truth.
And
it's painful. And it's difficult to get past it. But it's not a good report. It's not something to be celebrated. So don't let your mind dwell on it. Whatsoever things are honest, the thing may be honest, but it may not be just. It's not fair. Hallelujah. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. You know, one of the most painful things is injustice.
I said, no,
when you feel that you've been unfairly treated, when you feel that the person didn't do well, the Bible says don't think about those things. It's saying that don't dwell on it. It's true that you think about it as a human being. What this person did is painful. What this person did is not right. Your father didn't look after you. That boy promised you he didn't marry you. That boy has deceived you beyond what you could ever think. All those things are true. And they are unjust. But think about what is just, not what is unjust. Because what is unjust will drive you. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and any praise in it, then think about this. Your mind is in your hands. You decide the kind of spirit that will control your mind. Nobody knows our thoughts. And if our thoughts were to be exposed, we won't be able to live. It will be terrible. But the Bible says,
trust them, say
that God, He knows our thoughts from afar, and He is the righteous judge, and He is the one who judges us. Sometimes the thoughts you have about somebody, they may be unfounded. Sometimes the thoughts you have about somebody, it may be true. But the Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. So the judgment is that the person is guilty. The judgment is that only Pakono anyadie.
The person didn't do well.
But mercy says you didn't do well. You don't deserve my goodness. But I'm going to jump over the judgment and give you mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. So also the judgment is true. But mercy, that's high jump over judgment. When we do that, our relationships will be better. Our own lives will be better. The Bible also says another way of dealing with our thoughts is casting down imagination. Don't entertain the thoughts. Don't give them chairs to sit on. Don't switch on the air conditioner so that they'll feel more relaxed. Don't serve them drinks. Don't show them a movie. So that they stay with you.
Some best now in chain.
But cast down. Cast down. The imagination. And take captive. Imprison every thought. Don't allow it to be moving around freely. Don't allow it to be moving around in your life. And in your mind. Take captive every thought and bring it to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. I myself have had to fight battles in my thoughts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are times I've looked at it, and Lord, will it work? There are times I've been frightened because of what I've seen by my thoughts, and I have to fight. And I have to turn. And I have to go to the Bible. And sometimes I preach to myself. I put myself in the Bible. I put myself in the verses. I turn to Psalm 27. I say, the Lord is my light. And then I say, Mami. The Lord is your life and your salvation. He is your life. It means you have direction. It means you will not wallow in darkness. It's living. The Lord is your life and your salvation. He's the one who saves you. He's the one who delivers you. It's the Lord. He's your life. He's your salvation. Put your life here. Who are you going to be afraid of? When I begin to list all the things that I'm afraid of, who shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Some of us, our strongholds are fear. Our strongholds are doubt. Our strongholds are suspicion. But the Lord shall be the stronghold of your life. May the spirit of your mind be renewed tonight. And may you know that it is a battlefield. The mind is a battlefield. When things happen that are not so nice, what conclusion do you come to? And those of us who have seen bad things, we come to bad conclusions very easily. And we judge people and sentence them to life imprisonment very easily. And those of us who are melancholic, bad things occur to us easily. But tonight, the Lord has given you what to think of. Hallelujah. When your husband anoints you, think about the nice things he did for you. Think about the positive things. Sit down and list 10 good things about him. Once I told somebody that, she said that, and so 10.
It's not up to 10.
Maybe Pastor Mpacho, and so 10.
It's not up to 10.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But think on the good things.
When
you think of the good things, oh, he's not bad after all. He cares for me after all. He loves me after all. It's only that he's human. May every stronghold of the enemy, anything that has come from familial situations and backgrounds, the spirit of the mind, reprobate minds, minds that are not right, I pull down every stronghold in the name of Jesus. I take captive every thought and I bring it to the obedience of Christ. And I set the people of God free to think right, to go to the scriptures, and to meditate on God's word so that you will be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God bless you. Please stand to your feet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Shall we just share a word of prayer? I want you to talk to God. I want you to make warfare. I want you to make warfare. It's not a party. It's a fight. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says it's a weapon. It's not a cooking utensil. It's a weapon. Casting down imagination and every high thing and every stronghold. I want you to pray earnestly to God for these few seconds or minutes. And I want you to ask for a renewal of your mind. Pull down every stronghold. The stronghold of fear that has dominated you. The spirit of fear. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. I speak soundness of mind in the minds of God's people. I come against a confusing mind. I come against confusion. I come against fear. I come against unsoundness of mind. I come against distorted thinking, and I speak forth a sound mind into the minds of God's people. I come against the spirit of madness. Lord, things that have made us think so much, we don't know what is real anymore. I come against any such spirit in the blood of the Lamb and in the matchless name of Jesus. I pull down every stronghold. Oh, yes, even strongholds that have been there for years, Lord. Tonight, let there be a breaking down. Oh, God. Let every thought that exalts itself above your knowledge be taken captive. Oh, I bring it to the obedience of Christ, to the obedience of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray for minds that have controlled us in our marriages, minds that have controlled us in our finances, minds that have controlled us in our relationship, minds that have controlled us in our walk with you, minds that have controlled us ministry-wise. I pull down every stronghold and I say, let the people of God go. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 267 6055 +233 267 6055 7676055 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.